So how are you doing today, Mr. Babatunde Aye Labola?
I'm good.
I hear that your alias is Baba Aye.
Yeah,
it's
Baba Aye.
Yeah, the kind of Nigerian man that we call Iria Fada. Now that they happen.
Eh?
Bros, leave that matter. I mean, we talk as it be. You understand? You don't do it for Nigeria, so you don't carry and reach Geneva now. Tell us as you dey rock and for that side, Joe. No, can't do like, say, no, be me and you, they talk. Now, me and you, leave anything. How they happen for there?
Now I feel left out of this conversation. You know, both of you are speaking the Baba Aye, and then he's using the pidgin, and then the communication is there, and then you forget that there's a lady in the house. What's going on?
Baba Aye, please, I want to apologize to you. I want to apologize to the lady in the house. I want to kindly introduce to you Aliya Adewusi, who is in the house with me here.
Aliya, it's a pleasure.
Absolutely. Pleasure is all mine. Sir, very quickly, can I ask you to please turn off your radio around you? Or maybe just reduce the volume?
There's no radio on.
Okay, all right.
The TV is on. Yeah.
All right, that's fine then. We can go on. All right, so Baba Aye, right? Okay, so how is it over there?
Yeah, I'll say it is COVIDed.
It's COVIDed.
Resolve around the issues of COVID-19. Although the lockdown has now been lifted, but you still have it looming large. I mean, this is summertime. You would have already. One of the beautiful things in Geneva during summer is you have this series of open air musical and theatrical presentations, bands, films, well created films starting from June. But this year around, of course, that hasn't been the case. But at least people now go to the parks, go to the lake. So getting better, but there's still also the fear of a second wave, so people are still being careful.
Baba, with the way you speak, you almost make me feel as that you are born in Geneva.
Born in Geneva, Bitibao.
That Bitibao, please.
You know, the way you talk about the area, the things, everything that happened. How long have you been there?
Four years
is not just.
It's not exactly. I was going to say that. 4 years is not just.
We only just in 4 years. And it turned vote 4 years ago. Ten or eighty pari.
Went to study in Germany and Brazil for like 2 years.
Beautiful.
That was way back before then. Yeah.
Okay. So what do you do now? Where do you work?
I work with the Public Services International, PSI.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
You want to tell us?
It's a global trade union federation.
Okay.
It brings together over 30 million public sector workers across 158 countries across the world, including Nigeria. So it has about 700 affiliates. I used to work with one of the affiliates in Nigeria. I was Deputy General Secretary of the Medical and Health Workers Union of Nigeria, which is an affiliate of the PSI.
Okay.
Before I started work with the PSI, so.
Wonderful. You've had a great career.
Okay, so what part of Nigeria are you from?
I'm an Ekitian.
Ekitian. I like that. That is new. I've learned different things from you. The first one is COVIDed, and then now Ekitian. Okay, so what part of Ekitiriri are you from?
I am
Ekitiriri. You are catching my vibes very fast. You're a typical Nigerian man, I must say. Inyekiti, wow. Beautiful.
Awesome.
Unyi. Okay, Unyekiti. Okay. Unyi. All right.
Okay, so.
Most of my life in Lagos, so I'm a Lagos boy.
Oh.
So what do you miss most about Lagos? Okay. I know you can't possibly miss that, please. No one misses
no,
that.
Okay.
But apart from that, Lagos is I don't know how to put it. And Nigeria generally, I've traveled even, of course also including some I went to when I started this job. Altogether I've been to over 70 countries. And the only place I think feels somewhat like Nigeria to me is Brazil.
Mm. Wow.
You know, in terms of that passion for life, that sense of creativity,
the bubbling feeling.
Yes, and when you look at it, it's not surprising that what makes Brazil tick so much is it's not just the mixture of races, but a preponderance of the Afro-Brazilian.
That's right. That's right. So, tell us, please. I thought one of the first things you were going to say you miss about Lagos is your favorite Mama Put joint. You haven't mentioned that. As a Lagos bobo, you need to tell us that, please, now. Yeah? Where you go for your amala and begiri?
I'm not even amala and begiri. You are soon.
Oh, exactly. Or as an ekiti man, your pounded yam.
My wife cooks very excellently.
Nice.
Although we eat more or less what we used to eat in Nigeria.
Okay.
Even the yam, no, we cannot pound it now, not to end up. we do it's true. We don't use powder. We buy yam and then we blend it.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
As close to pounded yam as you could get it. So that hasn't made me miss. There's a little cafe, a Niger Congolese cafe. The husband is Niger, the wife is Congolese, and it's a bit of an African hangout with the Nigerian flavor here too. But it's not the same thing, truly. Like in Nigeria, particularly Lagos, but also Abuja. Because I think Abuja has better Isiewu and Nkwobi than Lagos. I'm sorry to say, Lagos has better pepper soup. Port Harcourt has tops of pepper soup, but if you're talking of Isiewu, Nkwobi, the gardens in Abuja and die.
Oh, I hear that.
You don't walk around.
Sure,
they tell you that I say you be now. You be the area fathers there. You they deny. You don't expose yourself.
I was going to talk about the bolli and the fish from Port Harcourt and the sauce.
No. If you are talking of bolli, Port Harcourt comes second. Yenagoa comes first.
Wow.
So you've gone all the way to Yenagoa to eat bolli.
There was those state capital I hadn't been to in Nigeria several times.
Oh wow.
Please tell me what you traveled to Sokoto to eat.
Sokoto.
I have lost the game. I give up. I
for mobilization. But I try to test a bit of what can be eaten in the different places.
Yeah. Wow.
Think about from Sokoto, where you also get very good kibishi. The north generally, but I'll say Sokoto, Mina, Katsina, and Kano. Very good kibishi. Then apart from the suya, there's this this one I forgot it. They you have this cement paper Maiduguri was before the crisis started, around post fees, they used to do it. I'm trying to remember the worker. It's not true, yeah. You have the cement paper on top of the grill, and my, it's delicious.
Mm, wow.
They have kambunama.
Wow.
The shredded meat.
Yes.
Okay.
So the one misses all those, and anytime I go to Nigeria, or the few times we've all gone as a family, kambunama and kilisi
must take back.
Wow.
Mm. Amazing.
So going on to other matters now, Mr. Ayelabola, we want to ask you, what opportunities do you think Spirit of Nigeria as a radio can create between Nigerians in diaspora and Nigerians back home?
First and foremost, I think that something like this is an idea whose time has come.
Hmm.
You have such sizable number of Niger people across the length and breadth of the world. In places like the United, well, actually more like the disunited kingdom nowadays, British Isles and United States, which are largely Anglophone. Community is tighter, and this kind of radio too has a role to play. But in places where we are, like French speaking, Germanic speaking, things like this become even more important, not only for the information of what's happening at home in a relaxed manner, but also with the spirit of home, you know. And then in terms of opportunities, there's a two-way thing about it. I think that those at home can have some ideas about what Nigerians in the diaspora are doing in the sciences, in the arts, in the humanities, in business, in politics, and those in the diaspora too could follow developments at home in a more interactive manner. One of the things with radio, unlike maybe just scrolling through text on through a Google search or through the Nigerian newspapers, the things, like as we're talking now, there's a two-way thing about it.
That's right.
And
that's
right. This is a very, very, it's invaluable.
Thank you so very much for your observation. We think it is important that Nigerians in diaspora have a say also in the political affairs of Nigeria. So I would want to ask you, how important do you think it is for Nigerians overseas to be able to participate in elections back home? First of all, do you think it is proper for them to participate in elections back home? And if it is, then how important
you've come to let me put some things in perspective. I've always been a political activist.
Okay.
Right from, I was public relations officer of the National Association of Nigerian Students during the June 12 era, and I also had the privilege of working with people like Bekora Sokuti on the National Implementation Committee of Campaign for Democracy. And I served as the convener and also one of the founding members of United Action for Democracy. Now, talking of partisan politics itself, I have had the privilege of serving as Deputy National Secretary of the Labour Party.
Wow.
And we participated in building the Mimiku for Governor campaign in 2007. I've also served as Director of International Mobilization and Coordination for the National Conscience Party after I got here. And I'm very active now with the African Action Congress. And I dare say, even though I'm here in the diaspora, I'm a co-convener of the Coalition for Revolution.
Wow.
Why do I put all this in perspective? It is to to show two things. One of which is that even apart from the remittances, we'll come to that later as well. Apart from that, is to show that in Nigerian, in or out of the country, can be committed to the democratic process of electing those that would be considered as representing us, could be considered as representing us. And for even a number of other African countries, you have these voting by citizens that are outside the shores of the land. I think it is important, and I think it should be encouraged, not just encouraged, I think it is something that legislation should be passed on ASAP, and definitely before the next elections. I know that African Action Congress ticket of my election, and I know that there were dozens at the very least of Nigerians that came home also for that campaign and also for a few other parties. Now, probably if they could have voted in wherever they were, we are based, you know, such monies used to also come home and all that could have been part of remittances, and which would have been more useful than being collected by, for Nigeria, than being collected by Lufthansa, Air France, Delta Airline, and so on and so forth. That's why we can, for that particular purpose. I mean, so we have every right. And secondly, the fact that we can't vote right now from wherever we are is not just an undermining of what should be our franchise right. It also fails to be adequately representative. It's also the election process that fails to be adequately representative of the multifarious, of the variety of interest of Nigerians. While we are still far from being there, one can dare to say that there has been at least some minimal progress electorally from first the military era, of course, where you had five fingers on the same leprous hand through 1999 and through Obasanjo's do or die. We're still very far from getting where we should, but there has been a bit more
progress.
We can see now that even though there are also several factors that are coming, vote buying, having very few qualitative defenses of alternatives, more like six and a half a dozen with a lot of candidates. But one could say that the 2015 and then also after that the 2019 elections were more representative of those that did vote than say the 1999 or 2003 or 2007 elections. But by not having the well over some estimates say 12, some estimated as much as 17 million, and even some higher, Nigerians outside the shores of the land to be able to vote, we are missing a good chunk of what should be represented during the elections.
Wow. Thank you very much. Your impressive resume, you know, gives a good hint about your political your political leanings. So I am tempted to ask you when you're coming back to contest as governor for Ekiti State.
Does that look like it is going to happen?
Well, I've been working for the same employer for well over 20 years now, and my employer is the working I've been with the trade union movement. I worked with the Medical Health Workers Union for like 20 years before I came here 4 years back. And I, for me, if I wouldn't be working with the trade unions as the most representative body of the working class, the other thing I can think of as work is writing. To be honest with you, I'd actually wanted to be I write some verse, I write prose, I write drama, and I'd actually thought as a youngster of being a writer, and then I realized later that exactly how I did become a Wally Soyinka or something. But I have made my choice. My choice is not wrong or any person or whatever.
Who knows? Maybe in the future you will change your mind, but let's leave that for now. Let's not press it further. So, going forward, please. What are the issues you think are in the diaspora that you think the government back home is supposed to appreciate and get involved in? Issues involving Nigerians in the diaspora, yes, that you think that the government needs to pay more attention to and probably get more involved in. If you have observed, Abike Dabiri has been very active in diaspora issues. But what more do you think she can do with her office or whoever is occupying that office and get involved with issues of the diaspora?
Well, thank you. I must say that when she's far from perfect, but I think Abike Dabiri has put in her heart.
Obviously, yes.
Work on the diaspora, and that should be commended.
Exactly.
I think a lot more could be done in several instances. I will start with one because that was brought to my attention a few days back. There are Nigerians that are languishing in prisons in China, for example. Populated Nigerians, the number of what, and when you look at China, when you also had COVID-19 starting, the number of countries that are taking back their citizens, from there. But in Nigeria, that is, has not been the case. And we're talking of thousands. The conditions there are exceedingly terrible. I know that Nigerian prisons themselves are not like Disneyland.
The comparison, though.
During the military era, we were detained severally. I was just at the Koyi prison and Glacier prison.
Wow.
It's also different when you're in somewhere like China. I think we are the conditions of Nigerians, including even those that I believe should be giving more attention by our embassies. Then the question of even getting some basic consular services, such as passport renewal. It is still so tedious. And when you look at it, like I work in an international organization, and I look at how simply it has been for colleagues from other countries, other nationalities. I haven't had to, in a few months, I have to now renew my passport. I was even lucky with the COVID thing because it would have been outstamped and I would have had to, I still have a few pages, but with COVID they are busy to traveling.
Yes.
So I've had a few Nigerians, we're not much here, so we almost know each other, and they have had to go through stress and before getting it renewed. And I've also had them from several friends in other countries. And you recall some months back, this was what led to
That's right.
Come today, come tomorrow, you know. And this is a very important thing, because even if you have a residency without your passport itself being valid, null and void in most countries.
Hmm.
The first and foremost basis of thing. So I think that it's important. Then I also think the issue of how, you see, domestic policy and foreign relations, and I use foreign relations in a broad manner of speaking now, because concern for citizens in the diaspora might not necessarily, foreign relations has to do more about relations between countries. But where I'm going to is this, and Chimamanda Adichie kind of, I'll use her as a metaphor for what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Some months back, she said that after years of being cajoled, seduced, encouraged, use whatever I want to take up American citizenship, which she had always rejected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was then taking up American citizenship. And why did she do that? The reason was that when her father was
kidnapped
in Nigeria,
yes,
you know, the United States government, which she was not a citizen of at that time, actually did much more
than Nigeria
to get the man out and also even provide mental and psychosocial support.
Wow! Wow! Wow!
You know, so she felt that if that could be so, why would she keep resisting taking up American citizenship, you know? So people often refer to John Fitzgerald Kennedy when he said that ask not what your country
will do for your country. That's
right. But they forget that he did not say ask not if your country can do something for you.
Hmm.
Difference between there's an assumption that look, the country will do something.
Yes. But
country puts you at on your
true.
So these are, there should also be that because every Nigerian person in the diaspora has family back home.
True.
And even the families of the Dangote, you cannot say that there are no poor people there. So
yeah.
Part of the concerns is also that people in the diaspora would be happier to see social protection and generally social policies back home that help to ensure decent lives for every Nigerian. Nigeria is not poor. Nigeria is a rich country. It is a paradox that we have poor people. We are the poverty capital of the world.
It's
a paradox that more than 40% of Nigerians have no access to potable water and sanitation. The paradox that you have, the kind of chances you have. So you see, if people in the diaspora as well see concrete steps being taken back home, you know, in terms of prioritization, is for example now. Nigeria was hosted the whole of Africa almost 20 years ago in April 2001 when the Abuja Declaration was resolved on that all African governments will commit not less than 15% to health of their budget. Nigeria hardly commits more than 5%. And now you have COVID and all that. The people are only at task. Why are we not? Yet you have for humongous amounts going to, you know, legislative people and so on and so forth. We need to get our priorities right. People outside the country, right-thinking people, will also be happier to see and even contribute to making Nigeria a more egalitarian country. So,
thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Ayilabola. You have so very well elaborated it. You know, it couldn't have been put better. we've so very much appreciate your
contribution.
Your contribution.